and Kira. Weekends from 11.
Well, hello and welcome, friends. It was another surreal and odd week of shows with me here in studio and Kira in various rooms of her house. Some of the things we discussed this weekend include, but are not limited to, our wonderful discussion of a BBC sports commentator who became so desperate, in such a great need of commenting on something in a competitive sports fashion, that he commented on his two dogs eating dinner. Quite frankly, it was incredible. That also allowed us to celebrate the fact that this weekend, 10-year anniversary of the I Don't Know Jeff incident on Sky Sports News. We also had another thrilling installment of Kira's Diary, the COVID-19 edition, and we discussed on Sunday how Brazilian crime families are urging people to observe the quarantine and social distancing measures or face serious consequences. Yes, indeed. All that and more. Here we go. Have a listen.
Are you doing that thing where you're like, is it Tuesday or is it Wednesday? Because I know at this stage, there was one stage during the week where two people said to me, it's Thursday, and it was actually Wednesday. So I don't know, are you at that stage?
Kira, that's literally the reason I said on this Saturday, because I'm telling myself that it's Saturday because I have no idea what anything is anymore. I barely know what time it is most of the time anymore.
You know how we did the radio shows last Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
That feels like it was 10 years ago.
That, Kira, it both feels like it was 10 years ago and yesterday.
Yeah,
and has also just happened. I'm telling you something. Time is warped, Kira. Nothing makes sense anymore. None of our benchmarks, you know, none of the things we usually rely on. Like, for example, Kira, sport. What would a lot of people be doing now on Saturday? They'd be watching football.
But yeah, that is very true. But I have to tell you though, Chris, there's some very funny sports commentators out there, especially Andrew Cotter. He works for BBC Sport and he covers like major events usually. And he's obviously very bored at the minute. So he created a video in which he commentated on his two Labradors, Olive and Mabel, racing to finish their food. And I mean, so much stuff has been shared online at the minute, Chris, because people have a lot of time on their hands. But this is genuinely funny.
No, but you see, Kira, the problem is as well, you see, and I'm sure you'll also feel the same about this, because you're a huge rugby fan and I'd be a big football fan. There is an art to sports commentary. And
yes,
there's such an electricity to listening to good sports commentary. And Kira, I haven't had that fix in a while. Like, I haven't had that drug in a while. So I need them to take that showmanship and that charisma that a good sports commentator has, and I need them to apply it to something. You know what I mean? I need to hear about something in that exciting, competitive way.
So you need to hear about suspense, tactics,
I need
the
Jeopardy. Exactly,
yes.
Kira. I need it all. So I think this is a good compromise. It's him commenting, as Kira said, on his dogs. Will we have a listen?
Who's going to win, Chris?
I don't care. It's a big one.
Olive in her familiar black, five times the champion. Mabel, the rising star, winner last year. You can see how excited they are, but also feel the tension.
Get on with it.
And here it's in the crowd as we near the start of this final. And now they go, Olive away first, but a problem with Mabel's ball. That might cost her now, having to play catch-up. Both settling quickly into rhythm. You can see the contrast in styles. Mabel, heavy tail use, happy to be alive. Everything's amazing. Olive, more steady, wasting little energy. Very much of the old Labrador school. Eating's a serious business. Don't bollocks around wagging your tail. And Mabel seems just a little sluggish here. Perhaps more was taken out of her by the worm medicine she was given last night than we thought. But Olive, focused, relentless, tasting absolutely nothing. Mabel trying, but surely a lost cause. Her title defence coming to an end. Olive taking everything. Nothing left but the bowl to lick now. And Mabel, well, doesn't seem too upset. A bit of class there from the youngster. Generous in what will surely be defeat, because Olive has won now. She's taken the title back at 7.5. Mabel looking to offer congratulations again to the dog who was her inspiration growing up. Once more, wonderful to see that spirit in the game. What a final we've had here. Great rivals, but great friends. Oh, and you see the swapping of bowls at the end. Join us again tomorrow. Live coverage of a snooze on the sofa.
You see, Kira, I missed that. I missed that analysis of anything.
That was absolutely brilliant. It was very, very funny.
No exaggeration. And a huge shout out again to Andrew Cotter. I was enthralled by that. Like, I was going, oh yeah, oh my God, okay. Like, I got into it, Kira, because it's been so long since we've had any competitive sport to watch.
Now I know so much about their dogs as well.
Sure.
Olive is obviously the eldest dog. Mabel is obviously the youngest dog.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, Olive is the one with discipline. Mabel doesn't have the discipline. It was fantastic, Chris, right until the end.
Mabel doesn't have the discipline, but she is a rising star because she has the raw talent, Kira. You know, look at us. We've started analysing it now. We're game on.
I know.
Do you know what
I mean? And what's even funnier, Chris, is the fact that, you know, he makes the comment that Mabel has looked up to Olive.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All of her young life. It's
absolutely.
Just, it's brilliant.
Well, listen, we couldn't also, Kira, we could not play a clip like that. It would be absolutely remiss of us to play a clip like that and not reference that. Kira, do you know what a special day today is? This Saturday. Now, the date was yesterday, so it was the 3rd.
It wasn't your birthday.
No, thanks be to God, Kira, it wasn't. And the annoying thing is you actually remember my birthday and always make an annoyingly big deal of it. So, no, it wasn't, Kira. However, yesterday, so the 3rd of April, 10 years ago, but it would have been this Saturday, if you understand me. So, it was the infamous... I don't know, Jeff, from Sports Soccer Saturday. You know, the Sky Sports News show?
Yes.
With, of course, Jeff Stelling, Chris Kamara. And it was the infamous clip of Chris Kamara going to Jeff he was watching a game, and they were looking for, obviously, the up-to-the-second commentary from him, and he didn't know what was going on. It coined the incredibly popular phrase, I don't know, Jeff. You know, they kind of became...
It's so funny.
It's incredible. And the lads, of course, are amazing. They've been in on the show before. They're wonderful. However, Kira...
You met them, didn't you?
Both of them. The pair of them were in. I think you were off that day for some reason, and literally, the pair of them rock in, and we just, you know, it was good fun. However, Kira, we could not play commentary like that and not mark this day 10 years ago pretty much to the day that the infamous I don't know Jeff happened. Stormzy on the way, MK and Sonny Fedora on the way with One Night Burst. Though Kira, let's listen to this absolutely beautiful
clip. Welcome to Fratton Park, where there's been a red card, but for who, Chris Kamara?
I don't know, Jeff, has it? I must have missed that red card.
Chris, have you not been watching? I haven't. I don't know where that's come from, Chris. I have no idea what has happened there. What's happened, Chris?
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know. The rain must have got in my eyes, Jeff.
But Chris, let me tell you, according to our sources, Anthony van den Boer has been sent off for a second bookable offence. Get your fingers out and count up the number of Portsmouth players who are on the field.
No, you're right. I saw him go off and I thought they were bringing a sub on, Jeff.
That's professionalism, I can't imagine.
Let me ask you this, Kieran. Have you changed out of your pyjama bottoms?
No, I have not.
I see. Maybe for the next hour. Maybe after 12, Kira, will we see you in pants or who knows?
Chris, here's the thing. I don't think so. I think it's actually going to get worse because I've been so good for the last 2 weeks because I've been dressing as if I was going into the office. And this is the first week where I'm wearing pyjama bottoms and socks.
Well, they say that's where the slippery slope starts, isn't it?
See, this week
you're
it.
Like, I won't put on pants. I don't need to put on pants. And then...
Like, I have my t-shirt, I have my cardigan, but still my pyjamas, Chris. So next week I could be in a full set of pyjamas.
It's exciting. Hey, Kira, I wouldn't even put it as far as next week. I'd say tomorrow. I'd say Sunday you could be in pyjamas.
Chris, I have to tell you a story about what I nearly did during the week.
And
I think that you'll get a laugh out of this. Or it'll probably show you what's going on in my mind right now. So obviously, I'm able to walk within 2 kilometres of my home.
Sure.
So that would be kind of near Grafton Street.
Okay.
So I was heading towards Grafton Street. I'd walked by the Gaiety and I was heading towards Grafton Street. And on the top of Grafton Street, I saw a cameraman and Will Goodbody from RTE News. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they were obviously doing a live news report. And it took every fiber of my being, Chris. And you know me, I'm professional. I work in media. I know how these things work. I nearly almost jumped into the back of the camera shot and waved.
Yeah, I hear you. You're devolving,
like,
Kira.
You know, I'm like, just to be like, oh, just to say hello to everyone that might miss me that happens to be watching the RTE News.
Yeah.
And me in the background waving.
Sure.
I nearly did that.
Listen, sorry to interrupt. Would it be possible? You could do like the way they do shout outs on the radio. You could say, could I use the news to do a shout out to my mom and everyone who knows me and my dad and everyone listening in around? Yeah, I think you should. You should have, Kira. You missed an opportunity. Yeah, I hear you.
But I had to walk away. And it was one of those things I was like, I can obviously make contact with the outside world through my phone. But I was there and I was like, there's Will Goodbody. I really like him. There's a cameraman. I'm just going to go up. I'm just going to wave in the background and I'll give everyone a lot. And then it was like, Kira, you work in the media, walk away.
Yeah. No, it's like that. Those people that stand in the background of election count centres and just kind of skulk around when they're doing the report. Absolutely.
Or, but Kira, it's in eight.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's in eight, though. I just think when you see a camera and you know it's serious, you want to go over and start screaming or running around or saying hello. Of course. Well, Kira, great job on showing the restraint not to, I have to say. That's actually impressive. I don't know if I would have. I don't know if I'd have been able to restrain myself. I probably would have jumped in and just started screaming. But anyway, Will Goodbody's probably thankful as well that you didn't, Kira. You know,
I'd imagine he is, Chris.
Yeah, he had deadlines, I'd imagine. Kira, I meant to say to you, because obviously we're going to chat about something somewhat relevant to this. I'm wearing gloves today, blue like latex or whatever, nitrile powder gloves. I'm looking very fetching. Like, I think gloves are a good look for me. I'm going to be honest with you.
Are you trying to turn me on, Chris, or what's going on here?
Yeah, this is foreplay before we talk about this story, because I'm actually wearing lovely gloves, Kira. I don't know why more fetishists aren't just enjoying the fact that they can wear this stuff outside now.
Well, Chris, a medical fetish site has donated an entire stock of scrubs because, in fairness, it was contacted by desperate health officials in the UK.
Yeah, this is really weird. MedFet UK is their Twitter. And MedFet is a medical fetish shop that says they donated their entire stock of disposable scrubs to an NHS hospital. Good God almighty. Now, I didn't even think they would have been like usable in a hospital context.
The company didn't identify the hospital where it sent the few sets of scrubs that it had, but said it was located in the south of England, Chris.
God almighty.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand about any of this is I never actually thought any of that fetish stuff would have been usable in the context that it's supposed to. Like, I thought it was just all props and, you know, magic.
I know, I agree with you, but I can't believe there's an actual medical fetish company.
Sure. Well, Kira,
a fetish company, fine, but a medical fetish company.
Kira, they continue on their Twitter. We are a tiny company set up to serve a small section of the kink community, and we find ourselves being sought out as a last resort supplier to our National Health Service, apparently. That's what they're saying on their Twitter.
There you go.
Now, they're serving a small community, they themselves admit, Kira. So I don't know if it's the biggest section of the kink community that's into medical equipment fetish. However, obviously enough that the NHS would contact them and say, would you mind giving us your fetish props? Because we need some scrubs.
Mm-hmm. Look, in these kind of strange times, Chris, I guess the NHS will take any bit of help that it can get.
I'm more impressed with how dedicated these fetishists are to the craft, that the scrubs they were using were actually capable of being used in a hospital. Like, that's a real kind of film detail. They'd be like, no, these are authentic. You could use these in a real hospital. So I'm like, good for you, lads. You must have been creating some wonderful fetish experiences for anyone who's into it. But Kira, there you go. I tell you something. I don't know if any medical kink fetish companies in Ireland have done the same thing for our HSE, but if you have, by all means, let us know.
Oh, Chris, there was another question I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Why is everyone fighting about banana bread online?
Oh, I think it's because people have started baking because there's nothing else to do. Am I right? Because I've seen the whole banana bread memes thing. My understanding is it's because everyone's at home and banana bread is one of the easier things to bake. So everyone is now baking it. Could I be wrong?
But I what I got, and then I put my phone down, was that people were fighting about baking banana bread.
Like, as in about how to bake it or just about baking it in general, the act of baking it?
Can somebody please help me? 51552, why is everyone in Ireland fighting about banana bread online?
The only two things, you know what's actually great? How quickly the conversation moves. Kira, people aren't even doing COVID-19 stuff anymore. Now it's all banana bread and that documentary Tiger King on Netflix. I'm glad we have something else to talk about.
Guess what, Chris?
Yeah.
I do remember what happened to me with Breaking Bad.
Sure, because everyone is talking about it. You just won't go near it.
Yes. So everyone, excuse me, has said to me, have you watched Tiger King? I'm like, no, because you're putting me off watching it.
Kira, if I could respectfully say, it's very good. You, of course, know Kira's diary. Kira's diary. We used to do it here on the show. Kira would bring in her old diaries from when she was a young lady. We would read them out. Kira would read them to us. She'd put in her retainer and everything. It was the most fun. And it was even turned into a book, would you believe? Kira's Diary, Sense and Shiftability, available in all good bookshops now, I'm sure, or online or whatever.
I'm an artist.
That's right. Kira is an artist. And for the period that it is, Kira's Diary is being reimagined. A COVID-19 2020 version of Kira's Diary is now with us. And Kira from back then is going to attempt to untangle and decode and make sense of all of these emotions she has, all of these experiences she's going through because of COVID-19. And that is what we're going to play for you. Yes.
And this particular diary entry, Chris, I think that teenage Kira speaks for the nation because she writes down a list of people she's going to shift when all of this is over. It's not unlike my real life diary, to tell you the truth.
I hear you.
So that's basically what the diary entry is.
Could I say, just before we play it, this is a comprehensive list of people Kira is going to shift. No stone is left unturned here. This is a very thorough and robust document. But listen, how about we all relax?
Can I just say, Kira, as well, I hope Brezzy isn't listening to these diary entries.
Might Brezzy feature on the list of people you're going to shift?
You see, it's all funny, Chris, because obviously we're doing this, you know, in jest and fun and humour. But I would potentially bump into him. Do you know what I mean? And I would hate for him to think, you know what I mean, that I'm literally writing about my fantasies and then putting them out on the national airwaves.
Yeah, poor Brezzy will be scared.
I think he saw on Twitter,
he went back to Mullingar because of you. He was worried he might see you around Dublin. So he just escaped back. But anyway, listen, Kira, Billie Eilish and Imagine Dragons on the way. But here we go. Here is Kira's diary, the shifting list.
I'm actually losing my mind right now. Like, seriously, when will all of this be over? There isn't a hair and makeup tutorial that I haven't tried on YouTube, or a TikTok dance for that matter. And it's so hard to concentrate at school classes on Zoom. And I'm afraid if I don't concentrate, I literally won't get into college. The lads in class obviously don't want me to go to college either. Some of them are getting kicked out of class virtually because they're muting the teachers. And then, oh my God, Miss Murphy was in the middle of class the last day when this really hot man appeared in the back of her room. And then Miss Murphy started laughing and introduced him to everyone as her boyfriend. Can you believe that, dear diary? Even Miss Murphy has a boyfriend and I don't. It's totally unfair because she has a mustache, and with salons closed till God knows when, Miss Murphy's boyfriend is going to end up with someone who literally has a beard. Anyway, he disappeared fairly lively when the students started putting loads of eggplant emojis into the chat. It's so hard to care about Wuthering Heights or the Playboy of the Western World when you're literally shocked that the teachers who teach you have actual lives outside of school. Speaking of Playboys of the Western World, Lucy had to break up with the guy on Zoom this week. It's the same guy she's been playing strip hangman with since Monday. Anyway, she broke up with him because he suggested meeting up with her on the sly. Can you believe that, dear diary? If these were normal times, Lucy would have been there in a heartbeat because we all know she would shift anything with a pulse. But she does have her pandemic standards. Lucy is taking this seriously. She isn't leaving her home. Her mum is a nurse who's working so hard right now, and I know that Lucy misses her and is worried. Oh man, writing all that has just reminded me of shifting. Will I ever, ever shift anyone ever again? I'm this close to shifting the arm off myself, if I've been totally honest. I swear, dear diary, when I get out of here, I am literally going to shift everything that moves. I'm going to start with Minister Simon Harris. And yes, I know he has a wife, so I'm going to shift her too. Then I'm going to shift every nurse, doctor and frontline worker. And just in case you think I'm going to stop there, I won't. I'm going to go to my local SuperValu and shift each and every one of the staff there. And then I'll shift all of the truck drivers and the delivery men and women who are responsible for making sure that all the food gets into these shops. Then I'm going to move on to musicians. Brezzy is definitely getting the shift. Most of Codeline and one or two from the script. Some of Wild Youth, but all of Hermitage Green. Then I'm going to get in contact with all the mingers who asked me to dance at school discos, and I'm going to pity shift the faces of them, along with all the Dublin lads I met at Irish College. I'd even shift Lewis Capaldi, if I'm being honest. And then I'm going to travel to every county in Ireland, and I'm going to shift a load of men along the way. I'm going to finish up my shifting spree in the Iris, and I'm going to shift Michael D. Higgins and Sabina. And by the time I'm finished, dear diary, I'll have shifted your da. The Olympics in Tokyo have been cancelled this summer, so someone has to step in and do what's right for mankind, and that's me, dear diary. I will host my own Olympics, the Shifting Olympics, and I'll be so good at it that I'll even be invited onto the Late Late Show and everything. On a side note, I must start my tongue exercises now. I better go here. I'm hosting a quiz on Kahoot with Rebecca, Lucy and Hockey Brendan. Rebecca hosted one last night and literally all the questions about Star Wars, so I did really, really badly, the absolute nerd. Goodbye, dear diary. Love, Kira. P.S. Oh my God, I just heard that Niall Horan is going to be doing a live broadcast on 2FM next Thursday, all from the ISPCC. I'm definitely going to shift him too.
I think we're all finding this a little stressful this whole time, and it's understandable. We're all a little more anxious and a little more on edge than we would usually be. But Ciara, these voice notes from you regarding everything. I know we mentioned this earlier or yesterday. I can't even remember. All the days are blurring into one.
Well, Chris, in my defense, okay, I just think that I want to hear people's voices.
Yes.
As opposed to texting, because my God almighty, my WhatsApp is nearly out of storage or whatever. And I just think that, I don't know, hearing someone's voice or sending a voice message is nicer than a text message.
Yeah, sure. But Ciara, am I in some way, like, I feel like I'm subscribed to a mailing list from you. Like, can I unsubscribe, can I text stop to Ciara and then I'll stop getting these? Because,
well, Chris, the thing is, we're not in studio together anymore doing a radio show. So I feel like I have to be in contact with you more just to check in with you.
I wish Ciara hadn't figured out how this technology works. I wish we were still at a time before smartphone. Can I just give you all just
don't answer any of my voice notes.
Ciara, hold on. Can I just give everyone a bit of context here? So Ciara and I kind of said, look, we penciled this in today. We said we might have a chat about this. Ciara, I have compiled some evidence. I have compiled some exhibits for the court to have a listen to. These are just a selection of some of the voice notes I get. So I've put some nice music with it. By the way, this goes on. This is more or less a daily, if not several times daily, interaction.
I just say as well, I kind of feel really bad about giving out influencers all the time now. I'm definitely currently eating my words because Joe Wicks, he's amazing. He's absolutely brilliant. It was absolutely lovely. The birds are tweeting in the trees. Not that I ever really give out about Joe Wicks as opposed to just kind of influencers in general, you know. I spotted a really hot guy with the hurley hitting a slitter up against the wall. Sorry, I kind of whispered there because he's not that far away from me. Let me know. I am going to bake a cake now. I'm like Nigella Lawson. Okay,
so
talk soon. Bye.
This is a very small selection, Ciara, of what's going on all the time on my
Chris.
Phone. But Ciara, like, do you get my point now when it's presented like that? Like, it's like you're just tweet or, you know, voice noting everyone. Are you doing this with many people on your phone, Ciara? Is this like a...
I'm doing it with a couple,
issue.
Yeah. No.
Have you set up one of those broadcast lists on WhatsApp so you can just send it to everyone? Is that what's going
no,
on?
No, but that's a really good idea.
Oh, God, no. Ah, Jesus, why did I give you that? But listen, I thought we had to share this because drama struck Kira's universe during the week. I thought this was very funny. Of course, Ciara, Wimbledon is cancelled for the first time in what? Like since World War II or something?
Since World War II, Chris, don't play those out.
So what happened is...
No, but you don't understand. I had no one really to talk to about that.
But I'm not someone... Ciara, I don't understand tennis. Like, you're the one who keeps explaining this stuff to me for 10 years.
Yeah, but I force you to listen to me. We're on national radio, Chris. Please don't play them out.
No, can I share this with?
I wasn't
give people
myself.
Context, Ciara. Can I give people context? People might think this is shtick. This is not shtick. Ciara has been doing this for 10 years about Roger. Ciara, if you were as interested in like the stock market or something as you are in Roger Federer, you would be a billionaire. Like this is. Yeah, just hold on. Let's have a listen to this. Hold on. Wait.
I've just been on my phone because I was listening to music all afternoon, so I wasn't on the internet. But I just saw there, like, Wimbledon has been cancelled, Chris. Like,
Ciara uses my name, by the way, when she's serious. I've noticed.
Oh, I kind of can't get my head around it, like, for an awful lot of reasons. And, like, Wimbledon has been cancelled since World War II. And, like, honestly, I just feel like...
And can I give you context now as to why this is devastating for Ciara? Because, and Ciara has explained this to me, as her idol Roger Federer gets older, he gets less likely to win tournaments. Am I right, Ciara?
Yes.
Right. So...
Chris,
hi,
don't...
me again. Chris, I'm
no.
sitting here and I swear to God, I'm just after...
This is the next voice note.
I always thought, then I'm just going to pour myself a glass of wine.
No!
It's wine o'clock. Listen to this wine. Ciara, sometimes I think this is some weird Andy Kaufman like performance act from you or something.
I never get to see Roger Federer play Wimbledon ever again now. He's going to be 39 next year, Chris, in 2021.
Oh, no.
And like, I hate to admit it, but like that's pushing on and it's just really on my mind right now. This is awful.
If you get this message, just voice message me back or whatever.
If you okay, get then. This message, because it's World War II, and I mightn't get this message.
Do you know what was cancelled? Do you know the last time Wimbledon was cancelled, Chris? World War II.
Oh, it was actually. Sorry. I didn't even realise that was. Yes, drawing that
okay.
parallel. Yes.
Oh my God. It was the thing that nearly tipped me over at the edge this week. Uh-huh. And I know that yeah. sounds ridiculous with everything that's going on. And I just needed to talk to somebody.
Kira, do you remember when we had the nighttime show and we had that really cool voicemail box you could leave messages in? And because we were on at night and we still do have quite an eclectic following, we'll say, we would get mm-hmm. these weird... You're one of those, like, people now that's just, like...
And do you know what the worst thing about this...
Sorry, here's another voice.
No. The thing is, right, okay, and I swear I'll stop going on about this now. The worst thing is, what if the last time I saw him play Wimbledon was when he lost to Novak Djokovic? And could I just say narrowly lost to Novak Djokovic? What if the last time... he has ever played in Wimbledon that I saw him that he lost to Novak Djokovic? Like, this is serious, Chris. Like, message me back if you get this.
That would be a travesty. That would be terrible. You know, no joke, when the songs are going on in the studio, that's what I'm listening to. That what I just played for you there is what's going on. Kira, are you okay though? Like,
obviously I'm over the shock, Chris, because there's a whole lot more going on in the world to worry about right now.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. But I had a momentary, oh my God, what's going on in my life? And it was Wimbledon being cancelled that drove me to send all those do you know what? I'm not going to send you a voice note again.
Please don't, Kira. To Kira.
I know exactly what you've done right now.
What?
You've humiliated me on national radio so that I won't send you a voice note ever again.
Well, all right. Well, I mean, that wasn't my main motivation, but you're right. That is a byproduct of it. A few interesting pieces of commentary on our debate here, Kira, about how many voice notes you sent me. Yes.
Yeah, I love this text message. Wait, you mean you and Kira aren't in a relationship and living together like Eamon Holmes and you're one? Her name is Ruth, by the way. I feel like I've been lied to all these times listening to you. Peter in Athrynham. Peter, I don't understand why you would even think that.
No, I think I have obviously been trying to get that situation going for years, but Peter, Kira has never relented in any remote way to that. I don't know how you could have that impression, Peter, with all due respect. If you do say you've been listening this whole time and feel lied to,
These are peculiar times, Peter. So, like, check back in a month. You never know. But
they're not. I think in Kira's head, though, she's like, they're not that peculiar, though. You know what I mean? They're like, I live. Also, Helena or Helena, I'm not sure which it is. Helena, my apologies, says, hey, man, she just misses you. Welcome in the voice notes. I have been on my own for 14 days because I'm immunocompromised, so notes are a savior right now. And then it says, Kira, you are a dote. Send me voice notes, girlo. Tell you what, Helena, I'm going to DM you Kira's phone number right now and I will unleash her upon you. It'll be great fun. But listen,
so many things to say, Chris.
Yes, you do. You have a big heart and a big mouth, Kira. Isn't that right? And there's a lot that needs to come out.
Not the perfect combination, eh?
Listen, big something else and you're done. How about this? What we're going to do is we're going to play you some beanies.
Brain.
Yes, brain. That's exactly it. A big, deep brain full of knowledge. Absolutely. Somebody texted to say, I bought a honey pomelo for my breakfast this morning with the understanding that I was getting a melon-type fruit, but what the hell? Why are they displayed near the melon? It's not even a melon. This is a disgrace.
This is a very, very much a first-world problem. But what is a pomelo, Chris?
I have just consulted. Kira and I are going to look very uncultured and ignorant now. A pomelo is a citrus fruit, which is... Kira, I can't even tell what it is because I'm reading the description of it on Wikipedia and I still don't understand what it is. It kind of looks like an apple got kicked in the head a few times and sort of made a mandarin. Is about as much as I can get from it.
Okay, I get it. Well, if that texter could text back in and tell us what it tastes like, that would be really good as well.
Yeah, texter, will it not be fun to try a different fruit in this period? I think you're living the high life. I wish I was trying a different... It's like being on holidays. Good for you.
You know what? This person is doing exactly what I'm doing, because when I do go to the supermarket now, which is obviously very rare, I end up buying the most ridiculous things that I definitely wouldn't have bought last month.
Oh, really? What are you doing?
Like, I bought, this is first world ridiculousness. I bought like honeycombed barbecue cashew nuts and they cost like €4 or something ridiculous like that.
But in your head, you're like, I'll need protein, I'll need sustenance, I'll need nuts, I'll get those, they look great. And then you
it wasn't even. I was just like, they're a ridiculously overpriced pot of nuts that I would never buy. I'm just going to put them in my basket.
Oh, it's I did the same thing. However, I did it. This texture set me off now. Last week, I did it with kale, right? So I bought
This is
even worse. I bought a full bag of kale, okay? And it was in the fridge then for about a week. So then as it looked like it was starting to go off, I was not going to let myself be one of those people that wasted fresh food. So I just ate it like a bag of crisps. Like I just said, right, and I washed my hands and I sat down with the TV and I ate the whole bag of kale as though I was eating like a packet of crisps or whatever, because I was not going to let myself see it wasted. So, texture.
Chris.
I know. I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from. I really do.
That's a sad story.
I know, isn't it? I was literally sitting there force feeding myself kale so that I wouldn't have wasted it. I know. It's awful. It's terrible. But, Kira, that's what these times are doing to us.
I know. Chris, we have to talk about Brazil.
We will in 1 second, but people have been set off by what a pomelo is on the text. Tara says, guys, it's like a giant orange, grapefruit cross segments inside, bit sour but lovely. Nan in Kilkenny says, oh, it's beautiful. It's like a grapefruit, thick skin, lovely though on the inside. Wow, people love this fruit, Kira. Another text about it. My God almighty, Kira, weird things that set people off.
Somebody said, it tastes like a giant lemon that's a bit dry. I feel a bit conned, but thanks for making me feel better. You guys are the best. And then someone says, Chris, you monster. You can make it into pesto and it tastes gorgeous. Are they talking about the kale or the pomelo, Chris?
I'd imagine the kale, but no, I sat there like a man at a darts tournament eating a packet of crisps, but I was stuffing them into myself at the TV, just going, oh yeah, this kale is great. I had a hearty bag of kale, but sorry, Kira, enough about Chris's eating habits. What is going on in Brazil? I love this story. I absolutely love how they did this.
Well, it's so bizarre. And this is like a Netflix series, this particular story, Chris. Now, we all know President Jair Bolsonaro.
Bolsonaro, yes.
Bolsonaro. He's a Brazilian president. He is known, I guess, for being a bit of a character, I think, maybe to put it lightly.
Sure.
He's controversial, Chris.
He's complex.
He's controversial.
Yes, he is. Yes, indeed.
And in fairness, he dismissed the coronavirus as a little flu, which is putting so many people in his country in danger. So much so, right? The mafia in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro has enforced their own curfew to curtail the spread of the deadly virus that has claimed over so many lives, you know. Brazilian media is reporting that threatening messages were circulated in the city stating that the mafia will teach people to respect an 8 p.m. shutdown. It was like intentional residents of these particular streets in Brazil. Whoever is seen on the street after this time will learn to respect the next one. This is what a message allegedly read, while others say that said, we want the best for the population. If the government does not have the capacity to fix it, organized crime will solve it. So the Brazilian mafia are having to step in because the government in Brazil aren't doing enough to keep their residents safe.
But what I love is that they are so organized. Like, I don't mean to do a pun, like organized crime, but they're so organized that, because I read this during the week, they issued a press release. Like, the mafia in Brazil issued a press release on public health policy. Like, it's mind-blowing. But it seems people are obeying them because obviously people are terrified of them.
Like, imagine the mafia have had to get involved in Brazil.
I know. And say, guys, we're going to beat you to death now if we see you out in the streets after 8 o'clock. But my understanding is, from what I've been reading, it's been somewhat effective. Because whatever about when the government tells you to do something, if the organised crime family in your locality tells you that there's going to be consequences if you don't do something, you say to yourself, maybe I won't go outside, you know? So
yeah, it's bizarre. But anyway, there you go. That's what's happening in Brazil,
so,
allegedly.
Kira, a big shout out to the organised crime families of Brazil for doing their bit for COVID-19. I mean, Kira, should all efforts not be respected in this time to stem the spread of it? So look,
I agree, Chris.
Big shout out to the organised crime families and the Fafelas of Brazil. They're doing a great job. Well, my goodness, that was something else. As always, a home run weekend's worth of shows. Now, if you're here and for some reason you aren't subscribed to us on Spotify or iTunes, will you subscribe to us immediately? Will you do it right now? Please, and thank you. We will chat to you soon.
Chris and Kira, weekends from 11. I got to